Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you expectant tonight? Are you sure? If you are expectant, give the Lord a shout. Tonight, please lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord one more time. If you are expectant, talk to the Lord. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. Cry out, God, you are mighty. Kadosh is a Hebrew word, and it simply means holy. You know, when you go to the realm of God and you look upon His glory, it will be difficult for you to give Him a name. The reason we can easily name God on earth is because the dimensions of God are revealed according to His benevolence towards mankind. But when you get to a realm where you don't need God to do anything for you, it will become hard to give Him a name. You know, when you call Him El Shaddai, it's because you have a need. So El Shaddai is a multi-breasted one. When He meets your need continually, you say El Shaddai. But when you get to heaven and you don't have need for bread and wine, what will you call Him? So the angels that sit in the throne of Zion, when they study God carefully, the only thing they could call Him is holy. What it means is that you are in your own class. There is none like you. We have looked upon you for aeons. There is nothing we can call you. So they just said, you are separate. You are separate. So when we call God holy, that's the highest revelation of God. It means He's in His own class. The love of God is holy. There's none that loves like Him. The mercy of God is holy. There's none that shows mercy like Him. The benevolence of God is holy. So the holiness of God is the highest revelation of God. That's why we worship in this order. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign.
You are mighty on your throne.
Father, we thank you tonight for what you will do. We are persuaded there will be a shift. There will be a shift in our lives. There will be a migration to sacred places where holy realities are kept and locked up away from mortals. There will be a shift tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. Since it's the first night, I want to take time to establish the coordinates of the meeting. It's an in-house meeting, and it's a leadership meeting. So I'm bold to share a few things tonight. And I know the people that are here are people that are sensitive and hungry about eternal things. When you go to a crusade ground, you easily emphasize the things God wants to do for people. But when you come into the crucible, where only few are gathered, you know that's a making ground. And the body is in the heart of the Father is not only to give, it's to make. Because when God wants to make, men become few. But when God wants to give, men become many. And in a leadership conference like this, God is out to make. So we are going to emphasize things that are eternal. In the name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. You are mighty on your throne. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You know, a lot had happened in the Garden of Eden. At this point, man had disconnected from God. Man had violated the sacred code that God gave him, that gave him authority and rulership in the garden. And in God's usual way, he stepped into the garden. The Bible said, and they heard, talking about Adam and Eve, the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves among the trees in the garden because they knew what that moment signified in Eden. Adam was a ruler in the Garden of Eden. But you see, the powers and the rulership of Adam was predicated upon the knowledge of God that he had per time. Because the goal of the government that Adam exercised was to bring about the nature of God superimposed upon everything that will be factored in the visible realm. So if Adam's government was accurate, Adam was supposed to make everything in the garden become a visible expression of God. So his government was to superimpose the nature of God on the visible creation. And the second thing about the government of Adam was to teach creation how to exhibit the character and the characteristics of God. And there was no way Adam could bring about that order of government except as he looked upon the countenance of Elohim. So from time to time, God walked into the garden. Meanwhile, it was not the face of God that showed up in the garden. It was not the glory of God that showed up in the garden. It was the voice of God. Because the dimension of God that came into the garden came to educate Adam about a syllabus that was not factored in the visible realm. God came to teach Adam God. Because there were many things Adam could learn in the garden. But the only way Adam could learn God was through koinonia. The only way Adam could learn God was through intercourse. So the Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God, the oracles of God, the speakings of God came walking in the garden and Adam interacted with it. The word came walking is the word ruach yom. What it means is the moment of the spirit. The moment. It was not at all times that God came to instruct Adam. There was a particular window that opened in Eden when God effused into the garden. And when God showed up, Adam had capacity in the spirit to discern the invasion of God. And every time God came, there was an alignment order that Adam sustained in order to enter into intercourse with God. And when Adam interacted with God, God downloaded his dimensions into Adam. It was that dimension that Adam carried from that moment of intercourse that he brings into Eden. And when Adam shows up in Eden, what comes out of Adam is government, because he said, let them have dominion. But it was a strange kind of dominion. You know, the Bible opens up in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. It said, in the beginning, God. Because before the beginning was, God was. So God was not part of the beginning. The beginning began from God. Because existence itself is in the bellies of Elohim. So Elohim was not part of the beginning.
So he began to teach us that before the spirit realm was ever created, God was. Before the visible realm was created, he said God was. So it's important for any man that will strike a chord in the spirit on earth to travel beyond the beginning into God. Because if you don't touch God, you cannot be relevant in the beginning. Because the beginning, the origin of time, the origin of reality began from God. So for man to be relevant, he needed to journey back into God. So what Adam was doing in the cool of the day was a journey back into that which was before the beginning. So that when he enters into the beginning, he could bring a civilization that existed before the beginning. Because the beginning was a virgin dimension that God allowed Adam to colonize. I'm looking for utterance. You know what I want to teach is not normal Bible study. I want to tell you the stories of God. I want to tell you the secrets of creation, the code of existence. Because life does not begin in the beginning. Life was before the beginning. And when the beginning ends, life continues. So the journey into God is an eternal reality. Hey, Mahrahado Vakiza, Elianda Franase, Boronde Zavakida, Barakida. You know, Christians don't understand the privilege they have. Because in Christ we have a way back into him that was. Him that dwells before time began. That's the journey of existence. The journey of existence is not from Kubwa to Asurok. The journey of existence is from time to eternity. When you touch God and you bring God back to your realm. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh. Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You know, Adam did not understand the significance of this journey that he was enjoying in Eden. Adam came to a point where he thought the value of life was in things. So he began to appreciate apples. He didn't know that when God opens up his oracles, everything that will ever be is contained there. So he began to look at things and he began to admire things. And a point came, he forgot. He forgot the journey that he was engaging on in Genesis 3 verse 8. He forgot that that was the foundation of all things. His ability to enter into God, to stay there, to look upon God, to download God and to communicate God. He forgot that syllabus was the making process of Elohim to bring him to a point where he becomes exactly like him in essence and in verity. All of a sudden, he began to desire other things, and suddenly the serpent came into the garden and he recognized the serpent. And the serpent told him, there is another way apart from the way of God. There's another channel you can achieve what you are laboring to achieve. There's another way of becoming like God. This route you are taking is too long. Come, let me show you another route. And introduced the code of rebellion into creation. And the man fell. When he fell, the garden was still there, but he had lost reality. Because it was not about the garden. It was about his intercourse with God. And the first thing that happened to him was that he was cast out of the garden. He no longer had the opportunity to look upon God. He no longer had the privilege to interact with God. He no longer had the powers to control and to regulate the garden. Because he had violated. A new government had been introduced that is contrary to the government of God. And when the angels showed up, the angels before that were his partners in dominion, they now showed up, and suddenly he saw a sword moving on every side. The sword was not there before, but all of a sudden a sword appeared because the journey into God had been stopped. And the man was cast in the garden. Since you desire other things, go and seek them. When you are done seeking them, you will discover that all things is vanity. Apart from Elohim, everything you have is vanity. Meanwhile, man will never understand this. Have you not noticed that when you have what you are looking for desperately, all of a sudden he loses value? The moment he enters your hand, he loses value. Because nothing has value until it is captured in God. If it is not captured in God, the verdict has already been passed. He said it is vanity upon vanity. All amounts to vanity. The only place you can look upon reality and continually admire it is in God. The man did not realize it. So he left God and he was on the journey of pursuit of things. So when he finds one, he loses value. He dumps it, he looks for another. When he finds it, he loses value. A point comes, you know, what is this? He now discovered that path apart from God is the path of death. Every time God is no longer in view, you have taken the journey of death. And that is why nothing satisfies again. Because the essence of man was designed to be satisfied by the continual infilling of God. So when you are born again, he said, him that is born of God overcometh the world. When a man is born of God, he turns away from the journey of vanity. That part which is a departure from God, he turns away from it and he comes back to focus. He begins to seek Elohim again. He said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. The word world is the word cosmos. What it means is institution. It means government. It means administration. Every protocol that is set in place that provokes a departure from the presence. He said, when you are born again, you begin to live above that protocol. All of a sudden, you come back to that point again where intercourse is reestablished. Now, if you enter into God, you will discover there are three realities that governs the civilization of God. The first reality that governs the civilization of God is the will of God. The second reality that governs the civilization of God is the wisdom of God. The third reality that governs the civilization of God are the purposes of God. This is why your prayer can't change the will of God. Because the will of God existed before you started praying. So your praying is correct when you align with the will of God. Because that reality, it existed before all things. In fact, civilization emanated from that reality. That's why when you do things in your own way, God doesn't hallow it. Before you do anything, he shows you how to do it. Because it's not just about doing it, it's about how it is done. It must be consistent with the will of, with the wisdom of God for the blessings of God to come upon it. You know, when I was much younger, I thought ministry was about gifts. I was a mighty orator, so I gathered my friends and I told them something is about to happen. And after talking to them for 2 weeks, I now started the program. And when I started the program, I spoke to over 100 people. Only 12 of my friends came. And those who came to sympathize with me because they knew it was a failure. And I now realize there is a strategy beyond human intelligence to bring administration to the purposes of God. If it is not consistent with the will of God, the blessings of God will not rest. I now went back to God and God told me, be here praying. And I prayed there for over 10 years. When I finished praying, that oracle came out of himself. You know, God is strange. Have you contemplated for a second that before the beginning God was, where was God? Before the spirit realm was created, where was God? That means God lived in himself. So God is the house of God and God is God. Now, attempt for a second to imagine God. You will see how futile your brain is. You will discover this tool called your brain in matters of ordination is weak. So you will seek him day and night. Because until that wisdom crystallizes, your brain can't travel too far. He said, pray for long. I was praying, I thought I was wasting time. Meanwhile, that was consistent to my own ordination. Pray! And after I prayed for a long time, he came out from where he dwelt outside time. And he looked upon me. He gave me one instruction. And what happened to me in 3 months was superior to everything that would have happened in 10 years. I now discovered the wisdom of God is superior to human intelligence. So in the civilization of God, there's the wisdom of God. And in the civilization of God, there are the purposes of God. So your life will not count until you live according to that divine purpose that necessitated your creation. You know, when John went to Zion, he interacted with the 24 elders. Now, these are the beings of wisdom and highest authority in heaven because they are closest to God in proximity to the throne. And when he saw the elders worshiping, the only thing the elders were saying was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And then he saw other beasts that were there and he said they worship day and night forever and ever. And the only thing they were saying is, all things were created for your pleasure. That was when John realized the value of life is not in its longevity. The value of life is in the degree that it gives pleasure to God. Because all things were created for thy pleasure. So when you fulfill purpose, you give pleasure to God. That's why fulfilling purpose becomes an act of worship. But if you don't go to Zion, you won't find it. Because that is not written anywhere in time. You may be on earth and you are laboring because you think the goal is to become something in time. If it is apart from God, it becomes a problem. But if it is in God, it becomes a weapon for kingdom advancement. That's the power of the purposes of God. All of these were locked in God. And these were the things God was teaching Adam. But Adam violated it. So when Adam departed, like Lucifer that fell from the throne of heaven, Adam also became oblivious in understanding of what the will of God is. Adam became depraved in wisdom. So much so that Adam went to cover himself with fig leaves. You can't please a spirit with vegetable. The only thing that pleases a spirit is blood. So when God came, he looked at Adam. Before now, everything you did was correct. Because he named all the animals, and the name he called the animals was the name that was in the archive of heaven. Why all of a sudden you now take an action that is wrong? He had been cut off from the wisdom of God. So God had to come quickly and kill an animal and covered him with the skin of the animal. Because if God doesn't see blood, he will kill you. But Adam had fallen from wisdom. And the third thing, Adam no longer understood purpose. The reason for his existence, he forgot it. And Adam began to struggle to survive. He now thought that life was about survival. Meanwhile, it was never written in the blueprint of Zion that life was about survival. Life was about pleasing God. The moment life becomes about survival, death has entered. Adam had departed from the purposes of God. The reason is because a new government had been established. So when John went back to Zion, you know, there are few men that went to before the beginning. It was Moses that wrote Genesis chapter 1 and said, in the beginning, God. The second person that spoke about the beginning was John. He said, that which was from the beginning. They traveled very far outside time. And when John went and checked, he now came back and said, whoever is born of God, the sign that is born of God, the sign that the protocol of eternal life has been activated, is that he overcomes the world. He has the power over the administration of the world system. He has the power over the enticing implications that the devil litters upon the landscape. He overcomes the world. So a man who has not overcome the world has not learned the secret of existence. The third person that went to before the beginning was Paul. And when Paul went to the beginning, what Paul found was strange. Paul said, the code of existence in this age is not breath. In the animal kingdom, the code of existence can be breath. But he said, in the quadrant of humankind, he said, the code of existence is not breath. He said, the code of existence in the quadrant of humankind is God tabernacled in man. So any man who God is not tabernacled on his inside did not exist in this age. Meanwhile, there are many ages in God. There is the angelic age. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So before the earth was created, many heavens had been created. Many beings had existed in heaven. That's why you see the 20 and 4 elders, you don't know their origin. That's why you see the 4 beasts, you don't know their origin. That's why you see different categories of angels. Because before the project of man began, God had many projects. And there are different mysteries that govern all of those projects. But he said, in the project of man, what governs it is what? God tabernacled in man. That's why I said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible now said, you know, when God began to create Adam, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And the way God created man was that God divided himself. And then he took dust and hid God in dust. So it is God hid in dust that is called man. So man is God hid in dust, because the mystery of this age is God tabernacling in a man. And Jesus said, this is life eternal. Life is not breath. It's your ability to touch that God that is on your inside. Live by that God that is on your inside. Commune with that God that is on your inside. That was the same thing God was teaching Adam in Genesis 3 verse 8. That if you stop touching me, you stop living. So the greatest preoccupation of a believer is his perpetual contact with God. That's why the code of this age is koinonia. If you have not touched God, you are not alive. And most times, when you don't touch God, the age will overpower you. The government of this world will rule you. This is why many people, God blesses them, the blessing becomes their grave. Because they didn't know the code of this age. happened? Did you touch him? Or have you touched him? Have you touched him today? So the reason today we count in your existence is not because today was in time. The reason today we count is because even today you touched him. The day you fail to touch him will not appear in your radar in Zion. Your age in the spirit is not how long you lived in time. Your age in the spirit is how many times you made contact. Because every time you make contact, there's a dot in Zion that this man is still breathing. That's why the moment Adam was expelled, the moment Adam stopped touching him, Adam died. So you can be 90 years old on earth, but in the spirit you are 5 years old. Because cumulatively, your touching him and the impact of your touching him did not transcend beyond 5 years. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know him. That they may know him. That they may know him. Because if you don't touch him, this age will swallow you up. The bank will swallow you up. Abuja will swallow you up. The government will swallow you up. A point will come where it will become difficult to come to church. Because, you were tired from work. A point will come when it will become difficult to come into this world. Because something happened in the office and you are not happy. So you wanted to be alone. And the way you were being alone is by putting an earpiece and hearing a music, a song, to saturate your soul. That's not life. That's not life. That's not existence. Because when you look at the wisdom of God from the tablets of heaven, you will discover the only way God... You know, the way spirits define things is different from the way men define things. It's different entirely. So he said, if you don't touch God, this world will swallow you up. And there are many people in cities. They went to cities with God large in their heart. But when they came to the city, the pursuit of things made God became faint. So even when they come to the place of prayer, they look for God, they can't find God. They couldn't touch God. Meanwhile, before they came to the city, even the moment they wake up, an angel is singing and they can hear the sound of heaven. Before they woke up, as they are waking up, the Holy Ghost is dancing in their spirit. So they wake up in the morning. They didn't have anything. Yet they wake up. I have a very big God who is always by my side. But they now enter the city. They didn't know that there's a government in that city. They didn't know that there was a prince in that city that have set his quadrant to swallow men. So when they entered the city without an understanding of what life was. So they negated the protocol of intimacy. They negated the requirement of koinonia. So they became big in the city, but God became small on their inside. So like Adam, we exchange the mundane for sacred things. Like Adam, we exchange eternal reality for temporal reality. And Jesus said, if you are like that, you are dead. He said, this is life eternal, that they may know him. How well do you know him? When you wanted to choose your life partner, did you hear his whisper? Did you hear his whisper when you went to the office? That's why we respond like men. Because when things happen, we can't check heaven. We can't consult with heaven. We are no longer of heaven. We have become on earth. We have become of earth. So things on earth, we are competing with people, with our minds. No, we are rulers. We don't compete. We rule in this realm. And the reason we can rule here is because we are perpetually connected to Zion. But when you are disconnected from Zion, you begin to compete with that person in the office. How can you compete with somebody in your office when you are a carrier of God? When you know where you woke up from. You woke up from your bedroom. I woke up from the presence. You are coming out of a room. I'm coming from the mountains of Zion. How can I compete with you? It's not possible. But the problem is, men have relocated from heaven. They live on earth. In John chapter 3 verse 13, Jesus was walking in Nazareth. And he said, no man have been to heaven at any time except the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So every day Jesus woke up from the presence. Jesus lived from the presence because he knows the code of this age. Christ in you. God, tabernacle, man. Somebody will begin to hear the echoes of eternity. As you leave this hall, all of a sudden, you will wake up, you want to go out, you will hear the Holy Ghost. But you've not spoken with me. Then you now say, precious Holy One, precious. Even if you go to job by 6, because you know the Holy Ghost is waiting every morning, you will wake up by 4 a.m. The reason is because when you wanted to rush out, he said, but Martha, we have not talked this morning. We have not spoken this morning. So you will come back and mingle. You will interact. You will commune. And when you commune, if you step out, you become a God among men. Because everything you are and do streams from Zion. From Zion. From Zion. You can be walking at your work, but you are in two locations at the same time. Because while you are doing a very complex algorithm in your office, an angel is whispering into your ear. Well, you didn't put the dot there. How did I forget? You have a partner in Zion. Did you study the life of Jesus? You know, Jesus is the pattern man. That was how he lived. This is not, you know, Pastor said something when he started. He said one of the core values of the house on the rock is prayer. Another is the word. He said another is worship. And he said it is these three that makes us excellent. So excellence is a spirit. It's not an act or a disposition. It is a dimension of a spirit that flows out of you. So even if it's one suit you have, if the excellent spirit is at work in you, when you wear it, it looks different. Because it's not earthly, it's spiritual. This is what Daniel had, and it destroyed Babylon. An excellent spirit was found in Daniel. The reason is because they could touch heaven. The king saw a dream, and he came to Daniel. And Daniel said, wait, there's a God that reveals secrets. We are in Babylon, but Babylon is not our only location. When you go to sleep, we travel to Zion. So we come to earth from Zion. That's why you can never defeat Daniel, no matter the plot. How do you plot against a man that sleeps in heaven? Does it not occur to you? We pride ourselves in the kind of building that we have built. Adam did not have a house, yet he didn't complain about rain. How did he survive the rain? How did he survive the sun? Because there is a canopy of the presence that the man carried. And if he has it, everything that should be a disadvantage becomes a weapon for his advantage. God of, this is Christianity. It's divinity expressed through humanity. But when you don't know it, the devil comes to entice you with things. The same things that should be your slave become your God. Money is your slave. Human connection is your slave. Everything, favor, is a weapon for your advantage. But if you don't know these things, the things that you should send on errand become your God. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. When a man overcomes the world, there are three things that happen to him. The first is that connection to God is reestablished. So that man lives his life by sickness. We don't live our life by human reasoning. The mind is important. We use them for earthly things. But how can you order your steps? He said the steps of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. How do you know you are supposed to live in Abuja? What if God shift the next phase of your purpose to just? How will you know? Except you live by sickness. By sickness. So every morning, you can't step out until there is a signal. I served in the barracks. The barrack can be going on. The moment they receive sickness, everything in the barrack changes in a matter of minutes. The whole barrack can be altered when a sickness comes from headquarters. That's how we live. A man who has overcome this world, he can pick sickness from heaven. There is nothing that interacts and obstructs his communion. So he doesn't walk as a man. He walks with heavenly entourage. That was how Jesus lived. In Luke chapter 10 verse 21, when the disciples came back, the Bible said his heart leaped for joy. And Jesus knew what it meant. He knew that the Father in his spirit was rejoicing. Meanwhile, he was left talking to the disciples. They came back. They said the demons were subject to us. We cast out devils. He said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you. He said, rejoice because today, your connection with heaven has been reestablished. What is important is not the obedience of demons. What is important is not the connection. What is important is that you have connected to Zion. And while he was here talking, the Father in him lived and he picked it. And he turned to the Father and left him. He said, I thank thee, Father, that you have chosen to reveal these things to babes, not the prudent. He began to talk to heaven immediately. That was how he lived. In Luke 1:47, Mary, she's not a prophet. She's not an apostle. She came to Martha. And when Martha began to salute her, She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my salvation. That was a deep spiritual thing Mary was communicating. Meanwhile, she was an ordinary person. Mary was telling Elizabeth that this joy I'm feeling now is because of an activity my spirit carried out before I came here. So Mary knew when her spirit was talking to God. And when the impact of that communion began to manifest, Mary still knew. He said, my soul doth, present tense, magnify the Lord. Because my spirit hath rejoiced. So these people know how to live on earth. They live connected to heaven. So when the angel came, Mary knew. She saw the angel. She knew. It was not strange to her. She knows how to traffic Zion. She knows when the atmosphere changes. Meanwhile, you are at your job. God wants to speak to you. How come you are not aware? You are walking. All of a sudden, your spirit begins to move up and down. How did you not know an angel had come? How did you not know there was a whisper from heaven? How did you not know that what you were praying for many months, the answer came? You didn't pick the vibration. The difference between life and death is a whisper from the spiritual realm. That's why many people go, you bought a car, you boarded a plane, the plane crashed. How? How did you pick the signal? Because you didn't know that the code of existence on this side of the divine is Christ in you. So you didn't pay attention. That's why many people come to church. Why service is just going on? They are chatting on WhatsApp. Because the government of this world have dominated their soul. The government. Even when the service shift, they didn't discern. How did you discern when the service shifted from earth to heaven? Somebody is worshiping. Service have moved. You are still on earth. How are you dancing when the angels are worshiping? Because you can't pick the signal. And if you can't pick the signal, you will never be invincible on earth. The reason many Christians suffer is because they don't pick the signals of heaven. They don't pick the signal. They say the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What do you pick from Zion? How do you live your life? Your life is supposed to be a stream of the endless rivers of eternity. A stream. A stream. A stream. That's when you become like Mount Zion. That cannot be moved. They told you this thing will not work out fine. You say, don't worry. You are looking at the external. I have checked in the spirit. God told me it will work. Even if the whole government turns against it, it will work. I heard something. That time others are running helter-skelter. Oh, you just step aside. Menaika. Orivanoka Caesar. Jadai, Jadai, Jadai. And the Holy Ghost said, don't worry, it will work. Even if the president comes and says it will work, go and sleep. That's how we live. God, you are mighty on your throne. Many people spend weeks pursuing contracts. Many people spend weeks pursuing human connection. They are beautiful. Never negate them. But they should be a byproduct of the strategy that you receive from heaven. They should be a byproduct. Because when the alignment order in heaven is achieved, the earth has no choice but to align. Because when the heavens be full of rain, they must water the earth. That's the order. When you secure heaven, earth must move in your favor. But many believers can't find heaven. They can't find the Holy Ghost on their inside. Meanwhile, this was the power of the apostles. They tried to kill John. They couldn't kill him. So they cast him out of civilization. They sent him to the Isle of Patmos. Patmos means the island of my death. But while he was in Patmos, he was like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. There is nowhere you can take that man. His connection with heaven is intact. And the island of death became the island of encounter. While he was in Patmos, he said, I heard a sound as of a trumpet. As of a trumpet. And as he turned, they carried him to heaven. And he began to live from heaven where people thought he would die. So when they come after 20 years thinking they will see his carcass, then the man will stroll down from heaven and say, how are you doing? Then the enemies will fall down and faint. They come, they put charm on your chair and they say, the sun shouldn't smite on it. If you sit on it, you'll be paralyzed. And then that day you came to the office, you announced to, but then called your cleaner, take this chair, keep it outside. I want to sit under the sun. The person that went to the herbalist, when he sees you, he will fall. How do you put chair in the sun in a 10-story building? There is signal. So when you came, you wanted to sit down. And the Holy Ghost said, not now. Not now. Not now. This is what makes men invisible. Our true assets are not earthly. They are divine. They are divine. They are divine. When you have it, you are invincible. But unfortunately, many people are walking confused. They are hoping somebody will tell them about their destiny. They are hoping somebody will tell them about who to marry. They are hoping somebody will tell them about where to walk. They are hoping somebody will tell them even about what to eat. How come we have become like this? Because we can't find the spirit anymore. We can't find the spirit. That's why it looks as if you are disadvantaged. There is nothing on earth that constitutes a disadvantage for a believer. Because for a believer, all things work together for good. How come you are disadvantaged? You fail to pick sickness. So the earth has overcome you. But if you will be in the spirit, if you will be in the spirit, you know, being in the spirit is labor. It doesn't come cheaply. It's not a gift. We are sent. We are sent. To enter the mountains of God, we are sent. And it takes labor. Do you know why many believers are vulnerable? Why many believers are confused? Why many believers seem to be helpless? They didn't know the last time they ascended. They can't remember. Jesus was always ascending. So even on the mountain of temptation, when Jesus was tired, he looked for a level. He said, and Satan delivered him for a season. He said, and angels came and strengthened him. So there were many resources in Zion that were to his advantage. When Jesus was confused about his assignment, he knew what to do. He didn't go asking anybody. The Bible said in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 29, it said, 8 days later, he took Peter, James, and John to the mountain, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment glistened, and he said, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias. Heavenly company came, and when they came, they began to talk to him about what he must do in Jerusalem. When he comes down, he's invincible. You can't catch him. You can't catch him. There was a time they took him to the edge of the cliff to cast him down. When he came there, the Bible said Jesus walked in their midst. How do you walk through a mob? He brought the dimension of eternity. So all of a sudden, earth paused. And the people who went to push him, he walked through them. They didn't know what was happening. Even when he left, they didn't remember what they went to the cliff to do. He came with Zion. He came with Zion. You must labor to culture. How come your office is not a portal? How come your bedroom is not a portal? How come somebody can put charm around your house and then somebody is preaching about deliverance, about charm, about who? How can you trap a Christian? Ah. Paul was teaching. He said he perceived that the man sitting who was lame had faith to be healed. Instantly said, Jesus, make thee whole. He didn't pray. Why? Because we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. How come you have all of this advantage? You are still vulnerable. You can't pick sickness. And the reason you can't pick sickness is because you are not in the spirit. You have not learned how to culture the spirit. When we pray, the power of prayer is not in asking God for things. The power of prayer is the ability to download heaven to earth. It's the ability. That's why when you begin to pray, the first thing that fights you is your flesh. Because you are going to a place where flesh does not survive. And if you journey there, a point will come. Heaven will superimpose it. And everywhere you go, you will carry heaven. You become an embassy of heaven. That's what happens to men. When you come, 100 people can be bidding scholar for contract. Not until you show up. Because when you show up, you come with heaven. And the candidates from earth will always be disadvantaged. You reign, you ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. I heard a story by Benihim. His son was misbehaving, Joshua. He counseled him, he advised him, none was working. And one day he now realized, oh, there is a different teaching syllabus in heaven. So when he was under the anointing, he manipulated the boy to come for service. When the anointing fell on him, Joshua, come here! The boy that you will advise, I will say, no, that I don't have time for that. It's no longer lingo. You know, spirits don't speak English. They speak spirit and life. It's not like, hey, come on, Ed, I don't have time for that. Come here! And Joshua was. When this heart stops, God, use him for your glory. From that day, Joshua changed. Because he brought heaven. He brought heaven. Why do we struggle? Because we don't labor to ascend. You kneel down for 5 minutes. Oh, Father, thank you. Church delays for 5 extra minutes. Oh, come on, I'm tired. You will be earthly because you pamper flesh. But Moses, the Bible said, he ascended Sinai. Moses was 80 years old. Sinai is over 7,000 feet tall. How can an 80-year-old man climb that mountain? Because he knew on the mountain, the pillar of the presence was standing. So he can decimate the flesh. The guy could fall 1,000 times. He will stand up. His knees and his legs will be blistered. But the goal was on top of the mountain. Because that's where Moses becomes a god. When you are earthly, you can never assume the status of the new creation. The new creation is a God man. But have you seen him? I know you have read the Logos. But have you seen the living word? I was in the Isle of Patmos. He ascended. When you climb the mountain top, then you are fit to do business in deep waters. But many times, our flesh won't let us. If sleep is what stops you from climbing, don't sleep, don't lie down, pray, walk. Because by all means, you must culture your environment. Because that's your advantage. You may take it for granted, but when the day of trouble comes, he didn't say you will fail because God is weak. He said you will fail because your strength is little. Your strength is little. You have not learned how to exchange human strength for the strength of God. God taught me this the hard way. I was fasting. When it's 3 o'clock, I want to die. And God told me, if you want to defy hunger, begin to pray loud now. And I said, how can I? I'm tired. You are saying pray loud. How do I do it? I didn't know there was another energy level in God. Ah, I wish I had time. There's something called endunamo. When you tap into God, you will be strengthened. And the day I tried it, all of a sudden, after 30 minutes, I was mantled with strength. And I prayed for 2 hours. I should have ended the fast by 6, but when it was 6, I wasn't hungry. That was when I understood how to eat angel's bread. Because angel's bread in the New Testament is not a bread on fire. It is the proceeding word of God. When you enter there, it is shot into your spirit. And suddenly you wake up like a giant. The things that threatened you, that you fell before, you begin to command them. Because now, you are talking from the mountaintop. And only God stand there. Only God stand there. That's the place of Christians. But we can't mount up. We can't mount up. We can't mount up. We think there's an advantage. There is no other advantage unless you enter Zion. Men will fail you. It's a woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Woe unto him. That failure has already happened. It only requires time to manifest. The only way to be eternally assured is when you begin to pick signals from the realm of Zion. How do you mount up? It's by prayer. It is hard, but it's the only way. The journey into the presence is the journey of prayer. When your priesthood comes alive, the presence becomes your habitation. And that's when you rule the world. That's when you rule the world. But many don't go there. We don't travel far enough. You know, somebody is receiving the grace for prayer now. Please don't be distracted. Just stay calm. The grace for prayer is resting on somebody now. Because you see, your season is about to open again. But you have not developed the stamina to ascend. And if that season passes, Your spiritual cycle takes 4 years. You can't afford to miss it again. The grace for prayer needs to come on you. That altar must be serviced again. Somebody is receiving the grace for prayer. I can feel that touch. I can feel that touch. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now. It's resting like a dew. It's resting like a dew. Like a dew. You will start crying. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's a move of the Spirit on your soul. It's a move of the Spirit. You will start crying. Don't worry. It's a grace. Your altar is coming alive. Channels of my spirit, open up. I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, no limits. Open up. Let deep call unto deep. Open up. You know, after COVID, many people were no longer used to church. And they come to church, they are tired. They want to sit at home and be eating biscuits and drinking wine and watching service. Oh, what has happened to us? Somebody is receiving power to trust through the Spirit. No boundaries, no limits. Open up. Let him call unto thee. Open up. Channels of my spirit. Open up. I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, no limits. Open up. Let him call unto thee. Open up. There's somebody, your advantage in the spirit is sight. Few years ago, you saw everything before they happened, but the sight is becoming blur. It's becoming blur. God is activating it. Now, Holy Spirit. Imole deo, okuku parada. Imole deo, okuku parada. Imole deo, okuku parada. Imole deo, okuku parada. You will cease living from earth. You will live by the signals of heaven. The Holy Ghost will talk to you. You will hear him. You will pick the signals and the movements of the Spirit in your soul. The second thing that happens to you when you are born of God and have overcome the world is that you begin to pick the burdens of God. The burdens of God are the fuel of the Spirit that powers the activation, administration, and the manifestation of the things of the Spirit. When a man is without burden, he can never carry out divine assignments. It's impossible. That's why when pastor says, God wants us to do something, you are like, you don't know. He's talking from a weight. He will not stop until it is done. That's how men live. Moses was a prince in Egypt. But when burdens came on him, he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of Egypt, which is for a season. This is life in the spirit. If you are not having these things, you are not a leader. Because leadership in the kingdom is not position based. It's organic. How much of the operation and the rulership of God garrisons your soul? Somebody will receive a body for souls that he will not come to church until he brings a soul to church. It's a body. It's a body. If you don't have the body, if you like, let church be scanty, you will not be moved. You'll just come, enjoy the cozy atmosphere, enjoy the worship and go home. The people who win souls, they have bodies for soul. That body compels them. That's what Paul meant when he said the love of Christ constraineth us. We find something that the Father wants to do, and the moment we know it, we can't rest. He said in Mark, in Acts chapter 15 verse 26, he said, Paul and Barnabas, men that hazarded their lives. The reason they were able to take so much risk for the gospel is because there was a body. There was a body. They couldn't explain it, but they couldn't stop. There was a body. How come Christianity is marginalized and you could sleep through the night? You don't have a body. When you have a body, you will not be able to sleep. You will rise up and pray for the body of Christ. The reason many infantile Christians are in the body of Christ today is because they are not taught. So they are waiting for a pastor to fall into sin or for a believer to do something, and then 90% of them come on Facebook and say nonsense. How come you are not afraid to speak against the anointed of God? When Saul fell, David said, how come you were not afraid? How come? How could you cut off the garment of the Lord's anointed? How were you not afraid? Because he knew, he had an understanding, a body. When God wants you to begin to administer the purposes of God, what he does is that he punishes you with a body. That body is what drives you. It drives you. You can't stop. Jesus knew he was going to Jerusalem to die, but there was a body. And the Bible said he must go to Samaria. It was a compelling power. He couldn't turn against it. Even when you don't want to, you keep doing it. You see certain people, they give and they keep giving. And they keep giving. And they keep giving. And then you say, well, it's because they are millionaires. You don't give because you have money. You give because you have the heart. Because it's a body. The moment there is a need in the house of God, they lose their peace. They don't give because they have. In fact, it's because they give that they have. Not because they have that they give. When a Christian walks without a body, he's not threatened. The devil is not threatened by him. Because he knows he won't do anything. That one is living for pleasure. Even when they talk in church and he's moved, it's for 5 minutes. The moment he steps out, there's no body. A body is the yoke of God that we carry. That's what Jesus meant when he said, take up thy cross and follow me. He said, there is a rest. The finished works of Christ brings you into the first rest. That's the rest of your spirit. But the rest of your soul comes when there's a body. He said, bear my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your soul. Because when that body is attended to, that's when you are fulfilled. Have you been there before? God compels you to give for a project and you are struggling. So long as you are struggling, you are restless. The moment you gave, even though your account became empty, that was when fulfillment came. You have attended to a body. Have you been there? Somebody is sick, about to die. And then you go home, you couldn't sleep. You kept praying. You kept praying. You kept praying until the note of victory comes. That's when you know body. These are the people living in the spirit. For those kind of people, they have overcome the world. So the devil doesn't know how to entice them. They are so connected to heaven that they can pick what is in the heart of God. So when God wants to do something, they know it. Without such men, God will be paralyzed on earth. The reason God is functional on earth is because there are men who can pick his body. So God sees through their eyes. God touches through their hands. God walks through their legs. Everything in the heart of the Father becomes their life. That was what the mighty men of David carried. He said David desired to drink water from the wells of Bethlehem. And he said three men jeopardized their lives. And they got water. At what point did the life of three men become equivalent to the taste of a man? It is body. How much of God's body do you carry? If you don't have it, the world will swallow you. You will listen to good messages, but the world will swallow you because it's not about the message. Everything the message does is to bring you back to koinonia. To koinonia. To koinonia. How can church be empty? Chairs are empty and the believer is there. I asked somebody, they keep receiving impartation. I said, when was the last time you won a soul? He couldn't remember. How many souls have you won this year? He couldn't remember. I said, do you know that God is in the business of soul winning? But there's no body. There's no body. This is how we win in this world. And this is what makes us leaders. I know there's a place of administration. I know there's a place of structure. I know there's a place of wisdom. I know there are many things about leadership. But I want to begin with the organic. Because if you don't have this one, you will think it's somebody's business. So you say, pastor said we should do this. It is never about pastor. Because what pastor said was something he downloaded from God. The moment it is downloaded, it becomes the assignment of every one of us. Go into all the world. It's a body. This is Christianity. Please sit down. Imole de o okuku barada
if there's one prayer we'll pray tonight, it will be that God punish me with a body. Do you know why you can do whatever you please? It's because you don't have a body. When Mary became pregnant with Jesus, her life became regimented. When Manoah's wife became pregnant with Samson, he said, you can't drink any strong drink. The child is a Nazarite. A burden becomes a law over your soul. It becomes a law. If God gives you a burden to pray for the church in Nigeria, you may discover that when it's 8 o'clock, you have to stop everything you are doing because you must wake up in the night. Because of that burden, it will determine how you live your life in the day. The reason you see certain men, they are isolated. It's not an act. They are attending to too many business in heaven. So they can't afford to be everywhere. They are regulated on earth. There's a burden. I heard Bishop David Oedeko. He said for 21 years, he only knew the road to the airport because there was a burden for the nations. You can't afford to be everywhere. There's a burden. How come Christians are not regulated? There's no burden. There's no burden. When that burden comes, your friends will become few. Because many things about your life will become a distraction. Ah! It's not a revival service. I came to instruct our spirits so that when we come to church, we will know it's a blessing. When we are asked to pray, we will know it's a blessing. It's not pastor's business. This is the code of existence on this side of the divide. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The knowledge of that Christ is what eternal life is. But these are the protocols that furnishes those dimensions in our spirit. This is what makes men mighty with God. And there are many men on earth that are very heavy in heaven while they are yet on earth. Somebody asked Bob Jones, do you believe in the rapture? He said, I get raptured 7 times in the day. He goes to heaven like he's thrown into his bedroom. That's why they live their lives the way they live. I read a story of an Arontree. Bodies became so much that she had to shut away for a long time. And bodies are different. They are tied to the peculiarity of our colleagues. Some of you, your body will be for souls. Some of you, your body will be to sponsor God's agenda. That's why God will be opening doors for you. You don't pray, it keeps happening. You don't have access. You are divine trust fund. So God is storing money with you for kingdom project. We are out of time. Bodies. The top thing that happens to you if you are born of God is that you become addicted to the presence of God. You become addicted to the presence of God. You see, as the deer panted. You don't know the panting of a deer. A deer can perceive water 200 miles away. It's not this one. They say, come to church. They are sending reminders and persuading people. The world will choke you. And the Bible said, when you love this world, it said, it's enmity with God. It's not this one. They are sending text messages. Come for meeting. They have to do many adverts for you to remember. He said, as the deer panted, when you see the deer, he looks as if he doesn't find one drop of water, it will drop dead the next second. And that's why the more the deer drinks, the more the horn of the deer grows. Because that horn is representative of government. That's the power in the realm of God. Power in the realm of God is not the ability to raise the dead. Because there are no dead men in heaven. It is an unending hunger for the presence. The Bible said the four beasts, they worship day and night without ceasing. Holy, holy, holy. If you don't have hunger for the presence, you will sound boring. What is holy, holy, holy? It's not about the song. The song is a transport system to the presence. And they won't stop until they look upon him. So they look upon him day and night. They look upon him. That's why the philosopher said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. The only thing that stands forever is that hunger for God. That's why I say, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. He said, thy love is sweeter than wine. He said, the sweet smell of thy ointment is as the ointment poured forth. When you are pouring a perfume and the fragrance saturates the building, he said, so the virgins
They love you.
The virgins are those who are separated from the world system. They don't have any other lust apart from God. He said they love you. So they will press for the presence. They will fight for the presence. Even if they can't leave the office, in the office, they turn the office to a tabernacle. So when you enter their office, it becomes a portal into heaven. This is Christianity. Even when they're on their bed at night, the psalmist said, thy meditation is in my heart upon my bed. There is a hunger. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. What is life? That you may know him. It's not breath. It's when you leave this earthly envelope called body and you step into Zion. That's when you will know the things that the mortals were counting in time. He said, Noah, being warned of God, he moved with fear. It was all about God. Being warned of God. He said, Abraham, he was looking for a city with foundation whose builder and maker was God. He said, Moses, when he was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was something that powered them. They lived for God. They sought the presence, and that became their dwelling place. Our home is not the building we live in. Our home is the envelope of the presence of God that we create. That's where we live from. And if the desire for the presence die, man is beginning to die. He's a cheap prey in the hand of the devil. The devil can easily come and seduce him with things, because the devil has never changed. It's always about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's his strategy for centuries. But the only way to shut the gates is when we tabernacle in the presence. These messages are not sweet, but this is what makes men. How many signals do you pick from heaven? How much burdens do you have for God? The peculiarity of your burden is what distinguishes your ministry. That's why we cannot all do the same thing. Pastor began sharing, he said, some are strong when in matters of divine health, because they have a body not to see the body of Christ sick. And because of that body, the man can go on 40 days dry fast to get an anointing to heal the sick. He said, some are strong in the area of prosperity because they have a body. They don't want to see believers behaving like beggars. He said, I've seen an abomination upon the face of the earth, that princes are walking on foot while beggars are riding on horses. So when he sees believers poor, he can't sleep. For that, he will do everything to be empowered. Meanwhile, some have a body not to see believers live in sin. So every time they come, it's like a rod of judgment. It's a body. That's what distinguishes us. The nature of burden that we try. But you can't find the burden until you pick signals from heaven. And when a burden comes to you, the presence of God becomes your atmosphere, because you have to live from there to be able to establish the government of God. Bow down your heads and pray.